This episode of TMS is sponsored by Bonwi.com. That's Bonwi.com. They get you the best hotel rates and up to 30% back in rewards. That's Bonwi.com. And by SendPro from Pitney Bowes. They have three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third the price. Visit pb.com/TMS and learn more and try it for free for 90 days. After that, you get SendPro for just $5 a month. That's pb.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, keep standing.
Oh, hi, my notes is closed. So, here comes ice cream trucks.
Too soon, Sam.
Prove that you read this.
Outback is a satanic cult.
Show us where the bee stung you.
On the doll. Nobody liked the Emoji Movie.
What? Major spoilers.
The Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Critics have known all along.
Magnum is a continuing hit.
Tom Selleck has been named best actor in a dramatic series.
Selleck has become TV's reigning male superstar.
Check out for yourself what these critics already know.
Magnum P.I. is for me the best show on television.
Magnum P.I. Thursday at 7 on Channel 6.
Look, you can see the blood.
I thought that was your blood.
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Hey everybody, welcome back to TMS. It is TMS for July 31st, the last day of July 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Dunaway.
Excellent. Scott Fletcher's intro still works.
It still worked. That's why I used that one, because I thought, hey, it's still a Brian. It can work. How's it going? Sitting in for Ibbot once again this week. How you doing, man? You all right?
I'm doing great. Slowly plotting my plan to take over the world.
Yeah, I see your subtle plan is coming together nicely. Every Monday, for the last two Mondays, we've had Ibbot out of town. Vegas, same place both times. He's been in Vegas there.
Oh, is it Vegas again?
Yeah, he's this time is a work thing.
Oh, whatever. That man's got a problem. You know it.
I
know it. You know it.
We all know
it. Tadpool knows it.
Nope. Everyone knows that his trips to Vegas represent one of the great gambling problems of all time. And he won't admit it. It's fine. Call it work if you want, Ibbot. We know the truth. But anyway, it's good to be back here after what was a bit of a break. I had that dumb family reunion. It wasn't dumb. I shouldn't say it was dumb. It wasn't dumb. It's just exhausting. Right?
Right.
Like, you go to these things, and everyone has expectations, and it's super intense, and everyone's talking, and it's all blah, 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 blah. And to top it off, there was a wedding in the middle of this thing. And not only was there a wedding, that meant we had to all leave this hotel resort thing up in Park City, come all the way down in the valley, which is like, you know, an hour drive or something. Come down in the valley, do a wedding, and all that entails, getting all dressed up, you know, waiting in line, sitting in chairs and all that. But I had to perform
it. The wedding is always waiting in line, sitting in chairs. That's a wedding.
That's the whole deal. Yeah.
And
I had to perform this wedding. So everyone else got to sit. I had to perform it. So I know it seems weird. It was my niece and her now husband, Chuck. His real name is, I forgot his real name. He likes to go by Chuck. But anyway.
He likes to, yeah.
He's a cool dude.
His name is Steve, but he likes to go by Chuck.
he's a cool dude. Emery's last name's Emery. Colin is his first name. That's his real name. But he doesn't like that name. He likes Chuck. And he's the one that's in the band. We played his music here before. He's a super cool dude. We like him a lot. Anyway, him and my niece April got married. Do you know why she's called April, Brian?
Because Sally was already taken. No, why is she called April?
She was born in April.
That was a disappointing story.
Yeah, it didn't have near as much spark as you kind of had hoped I would have for it.
Should've saw it coming.
Straight up, literally, my brother and his wife, when she was born, said, "Oh, this is my Korean family. She's born in April. We're naming her April." So,
what should we name this kid? What's the month? is it kind of like they looked around the room and it's like, oh, there's the calendar. April, perfect.
Yeah, it's better than
good thing it wasn't bedpan.
Yeah,
right?
Or March. A little March Johnson there. Bedpan. I love that. Bedpan Johnson. That's perfect. So anyway.
Hey, yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
You used a word. I never can figure out. I never can figure out what the word is that people should use when they talk about doing a wedding. Do you do a wedding, perform a wedding, officiate a wedding? So
perform and officiate are the two words I always hear.
Right.
Now, whether those are the accurate terms, I don't know. But I think officiate is like officially the official word.
Right.
Because all you're doing is... So here's what people don't understand. As long as you've got legal ability to do it, the ceremony itself, there's no standard. There's no, dearly beloved, we are gathered here. That stuff doesn't exist. It's just whatever you want it to be. So I could literally get up and go, everybody, so my ear itches, you're married. I mean, seriously, that could be it. Now, it's not going to be it because that's dumb and lame and nobody wants that, but you could. Like, there's no standard. Everyone thinks there's some rules. There's no rules.
But don't you have to take, like, a online course or something? Or
yeah, so that part, yeah, for me to be able to do this. So I did that back in late 2013. I applied. Oh, do I have my wallet here? I could read it. Anyway.
Do you keep, like, you have to renew that, like, every year or something?
No, I don't. Here's the weird thing about it. So I got the idea from Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt married... or perform the wedding of Veronica Belmont and Ryan Block when they got married.
Oh,
and I said to Tom, I said, how did you do that? How did you, you know, get the ability to do that? And he says, oh, it was easy. Go to this website, which was like some online monastery marriage .hoo-ha .whatever, right?
Right, right.
There's no .hoo-ha domain, everybody.
I'm looking for .hoo-ha right now.
Scoop those up. Get Brian Dunaway .hoo-ha before they're gone. So... I just get my .hoo-ha is what I'd do. Anyway, so he says, here's what you do, and I did it. I went and I signed up for it. Now, all I had to do was provide proof that I exist. I had to have a valid driver's license in the state where I lived. I had to prove that I was living in a state and would perform these weddings in a state that where this was legal. There's only one state in the union where what I did this weekend is not legal for me to do.
Where is that?
And I think it was Alaska? I forget. It's somewhere I'm never going.
Right.
Nothing wrong with Alaska. In fact, I'd like to go there someday, but I'm not going to perform any weddings there.
Why do they have such high standards in Alaska?
I may be wrong on which state, but I think it was Alaska. Right. I'm not sure. But anyway, you sign up for this thing. They get all your info, and they say, all right, well, within 10 days, you'll get a card in the mail. And I'm like, that's it? And the website was like, that's it. So I waited around. 10 days later, I get this card in the mail. It's this black card. It says something, something, ministry, monastery, something, something. Hereby confirms that Scott Blaine Johnson is able to perform as card holder. And then on the back, there's some other details. But it says it's for life. Now, I assume, Brian, well, people make so much big deal about marriage. I'm starting to think some of it's a bit of a sham because how easy was it for me to get a card on the internet? And it's perfectly legal. I performed a wedding in January 2014. That was binding. I signed the marriage certificate. They checked me out. They said, yep, we're good. Those people are still married. Like, it's real. But it doesn't seem like it's that rigorous of a test because, you know, what would make it possible for me not to be able to marry people? Would I have to kill a guy and bury his body under a hotel bedroom? Like,
you've been disbarred from the priesthood of this. I don't know what are these people called again.
They're called the Universal Ministry of the Monk Order of Twice. I don't know.
You know what? This sounds a lot like. This license sounds a lot like owning a truck in the South. Everybody expects you to use it. It's like, oh, you have a license? Well,
right. Or it's even more than that. It's like up here, if I want to hunt deer or something, I got to go through hoops and spend big money to get a hunting license. In the South, you just go back in your backyard and shoot shit in the head, right?
Well,
kind of.
It's not that loosey-goosey, but yeah, we're probably a little bit easier going here
because you got junk crawling all over everything, right?
Right.
There's always an 8-pound monkey or a huge bug or something. Like, there's always something.
Yes, there's 8-pound monkeys in my backyard right now. I'm petrified of going to my car.
Yeah, let me tell you what can take down a normal sized man: about 4 8-pound monkeys. So anyway,
one 8-pound.
Yeah, maybe one would do it. So the point is, I'm legal and I did it, and I guess I don't know what I would have to do to no longer be eligible. I have to kill a guy? Would I have to, you know, shove an old lady off a cliff or something? Like, what would make me ineligible to perform these weddings? I don't know.
Dearest Mr. Johnson, we as a committee have decided to revoke your license.
I still to this day don't understand why more people at Nerdtacular didn't ask me to perform a wedding there. I really I wanted that to end up happening, but it never did, which bums me out.
Really, you know. I'd be glad. I mean, that's, like I said, it's kind of like being in the South and owning a truck. At first, you're all excited and you want to tell everybody, I got a truck. Look, I got a truck.
Yeah.
And then, of course, about the third weekend of moving somebody, you kind of go, I don't have a truck.
Yeah, I don't have a truck anymore. Hey, I thought you had a truck.
I don't have a truck. We talk about it. Yeah. Lies.
I got a
moped.
I got to move apartments. Oh, good. Good luck to you. Well, wait. Aren't you? No, don't have a truck. So here's the bottom line of all that, reason I was telling you that. It went fine. It was exhausting. Everything made me tired. And then we had to go all back up to the hotels again and then do that all over again. And everyone's just tired. We're staying up all night playing board games. Like, it's a fun time. We're having a great time. Park City's a great town. We're having a great time up there. Although it seemed like traffic was out of control. I don't know what's going on with that. Everything's growing too fast out there or something, but traffic was insane. Anyway, having a good time. Everything's great. It's about 10 degrees less hot up there than the valley, which is nice because it's been real hot down here. Blah, 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 blah. The wedding itself,
blah, blah.
I get up, I got my fancy suit deal on, you know, got a nice tie, brand new, you know, pants there to go with it, new shirt, crispy, all that, and
extra starched.
Oh, you
just, the way I like it.
You just went all laggy. I don't know what happened there. Super laggy.
Put me on pause.
All right, he's going, switch over, everybody, switch over. All right, you're back, and now you sound great. Wow, that was weird. That's super weird how that worked. Because I thought you had to, like, disconnect from Skype. You didn't. It just hooked right in.
No, I run both of them at the same time. And then I just disable one. And sometimes Skype says, thank you. Sometimes Skype says, goodbye.
Yeah, sometimes Skype says, F you. I'm lame. Goodbye. So I get up to do the thing. And I've got a little script written. By the way, I wrote it. Okay? Nobody gave me anything. This is a super chill couple. They're like, I say, what do you want for your vows and stuff? And they're like, ah, we don't care. Just whatever. Like
such loving passion.
Just make it, you know, legal or whatever. I said, okay, well, let me think of some stuff. So I came up with some stuff. I feel pretty good about it. Had some nice little jokey moments in it and some fun little things. And then some nice, you know, sappy stuff, or, you know, weddings are supposed to be a little sappy. So I put all that in there and I do it. And here's the problem. When the music starts playing and the little flower girls come out, these adorable little girls come out and they do their thing, and then the groomsmen and the best ladies, or what are they called? Bridesmaids. ladies.
Bridesmaids, there you go.
Only the best ladies will attend my wedding. Anyway, they all come out and they split and then they go stand where they're supposed to stand and all that. And then as soon as they're all done, I say into the microphone, would you all please rise? And then this new music starts and out comes my brother Matt with his daughter April. He's shorter than her. He's Korean, and he was raised mostly in Korea before he came over here as an adopted kid at like 10. And whatever they eat over there had already stunted his growth, so he's like a tiny little guy.
I was about to say.
Yeah, it's weird.
Isn't that the stereotype? Asians are short, isn't that the thing?
Yeah, but his Asian daughter is way taller. All his kids are taller than him because they all they eat normal food is what I'm getting. So up they come. And it's very sweet, and you know, and he's standing there waiting for her and reaches out his hand and takes her up to the little podium thing I'm at and all that. And so they're standing there, and I proceed to say, sweet. We're here today to zip, liberty, boo. Like, I'm reading my thing, and I forgot.
Y'all said I could use whatever words I wanted to. Bibbity doo. Dingy doo.
Everybody's standing still, and I forgot to say may be seated.
Oh, no.
I forgot the whole time to say be seated. So the entire time they're standing there, and and in the middle of this thing, I even changed some of the words that said, like, that's partly why we're all here to support you. I said, that's partly why we're all standing here to support you. So I even started inserting the word standing, not thinking about the fact that they shouldn't be standing at all. I was just kind of going with it. And by the time it was over and everybody exited, and then we did the whole, like, they left, and then the music's playing, whatever it was, and the little girls do their thing, and then all the couples meet up again and go, and then They all are standing still. They look at me like I'm supposed to know what to do next. And I go, well, I guess we can all just, we can just sort of socialize now. Thanks, everybody. And I step down.
And mosey.
No, there you go.
No one ever sat. There was nobody sitting.
I'm not gonna entirely blame you for that, because people should just, after a while, just go, you know what, I'm not doing it. I'm sitting down.
Yeah, I feel like that too. I mean, but then again, I also feel like I had some weird power when I was done. Like, you got done, and I went, ooh, I have the power to make people not do what I will them to do, and they stood and stayed there until I said something. Like, it was kind of a creepy and powerful moment, but I feel like an idiot. And they and I talked to the couple after, and they were laughing. They're like, oh, no, that was awesome. That'll be something we can talk about for years. And they're super chill. They didn't seem to give a poop. Then, but also during the ceremony, while I'm getting to some really important, serious parts of it, two different ice cream trucks go driving by just outside of where it's an outdoor wedding. And these ice cream trucks that are, like, graffitied up and pink and orange and all that, you know, you see the way they take those things. It, one of them was, like, a Beetle that was converted. The other one was, like, a converted mail truck. And they're just going off over there to the side of the wedding. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm in the middle of this, like, really deep thought conversation about this future of this couple. And there's an ice cream man, like, 20 yards from me. Ugh, that part was
Did anyone break ranks and get ice cream?
No. Nobody did it. No, I mean, it was a small... Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe... You always think that numbers would make somebody eventually do it. Percentage-wise, somebody will go get ice cream, but nobody did. It was a pretty small group. There were probably 30
That's
people.
Great.
Yeah, it was small. Anyway, so that all went fine. I'm glad to be back, and it sucks that there were no shows from Wednesday on, but twas the nature of July. July was a real poop on a stick for me. It was a busy...
Yeah, marriage for April and July.
Yep, and then...
It happens all the time.
And then I got one more. I got another wedding next Saturday. I'm not performing it.
Oh.
Another niece getting married next Saturday. The Saturday after that, a nephew getting married. And a Saturday after that, another niece getting married.
Wait, wow.
Do I have that right? Yeah, I think that's right. And then there's a potential another one that's the guy's thinking about giving her a ring. Everybody's getting married. I don't know what's going on. They all hit like their 20s and all the poop goes loose.
That's not how that works.
No.
At all. Yeah, it's like deaths come in threes and weddings come in six packs.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Six packs. It's cheaper that way.
Yeah.
You save a little money. Final news before we get to the big news of the day, or the final thought here. Sam Shepard, Pulitzer-winning playwright, actor, been in a billion plays, wrote a bunch of stuff, been in a million movies. You know him from so many things. Dead at age 73. That sucks.
Makes you sad.
Look at that picture. You know who this is. Sam Shepard, everybody. Here, let me...
Oh, absolutely. And 73, I mean, it's old, but it's not real old.
No.
You know?
It's not. It's, I mean, let me think here. Like, so when my dad died, my mom married a dude named John. I don't know what to call him. What do I call him? He's not really a stepdad.
My mom's boyfriend.
My mom's new husband. I guess.
Right, there you go.
But they've been married for like 15 years, so it's not really new. But anyway, he just turned 86 over the weekend. And he's pretty spry, nothing wrong with him. Just, you know, sharp as a tack, still grumpy, all that. He's, you know, so you hope people can get a few extra years into him. But Sam Shepard, who you've seen in millions of things, people, and if you're thinking to yourself, oh, why does he seem so familiar? I've only ever seen Ridley Scott movies. Well, then you've seen Black Hawk Down. He was the general in that, and he was great in that.
Yeah, The Right Stuff.
The Right Stuff. He was great in The Right Stuff. He played, who is he in The Right Stuff?
Chuck Yeager.
Chuck Yeager. That's right. And a million other movies. You've just seen him in a million movies. You just don't even know it. And I'm super sad about this because I really like that guy. And I'm sad that he died. It was complications of ALS and some other condition. I lost what it was, but... very, very influential, cool dude. And always looked good in a cowboy hat.
We could have used a few more years, but thank you for the years you gave us.
Thank us for... Yes, thank us. Thank you for the years you gave us. Very good, Brian. I like the way you said that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, people. All right. Before we move on with today's news, I want to talk to you guys about Bonwi.com. Bonwi.com gets you the best hotel rates and up to 30% back in rewards. Oh, man. It's a travel site. Bonwi.com. It's just like it sounds. and you book hotels and cars. It's that simple. They scan all major travel sites to bring you the absolute lowest rates. And in fact, they back their lowest rates or their low rates with 110% price guarantee. Jeez. I was going to say 100%. 110%? When you book through Bonvoy.com, you also get up to 30% back in rewards points. And, you know, other travel sites only give you 2% to 10 at best. I can vouch for this. That's something I did last year that really irritated me. But anyway, reward points can be used for airline tickets, hotel stays, gift cards, you name it. These points have no restrictions, no blackout dates, and no processing fees. Also nice. Imagine booking 4 to 5 hotel nights and getting enough points to get a free airline ticket, additional free nights, or a $100 Amazon gift card. I can always use more of those. New members get 1,500 reward points just for signing up. That's just automatic, 1,500 of them. Learn more by visiting Bonvoy.com. Again, that's Bonvoy.com to start saving money on hotels and getting up to 30% back in rewards. I want to thank Bonvoy.com for their support. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you're supporting this podcast. It's the news. Not brought to you by anything. There's no brought to you bys today. So we're just going to dive right in and look and see what we got this morning. So this is kind of cool. Brian, I think we figured out a way to solve all of the internet's problems. Are you ready for this?
Well, good. I've been looking for that.
Yeah, for a long time, right? Most of our professional lives, I feel like we've been waiting for this. Here's what you're going to start doing. Prove that you read stuff before you can comment. So here's what's going on.
I read the headline.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. You shouldn't just read headline. Headlines can be deceiving, misleading, baity, you know?
Baity. Very baity.
Very baity. What was that thing we said yesterday on the Boop Show? Meat. What was it?
Beefy. Beefy rig.
Beefy rig. Oh, it's got nothing to do with this then. I shouldn't bring it up. You guys should listen. You guys should listen to yesterday's Boop Show. We had a good time. Anyway, people trying to comment on articles will now be forced to prove they understand what it's about.
A test?
Yeah, I love this. That's what? At least a Norwegian broadcaster's idea, the NRK's website, which will present people who want to leave comments with a quiz, a little short quiz, that asks them about what the story was actually about. The creators of the quiz hope that asking people the questions will make sure that everyone on the comment actually understands it. And they hope that they hope, too, that forcing people to take a 15 seconds or so to answer it will give them time to calm down. So if they're all fired up and they're there to go, my side's the best or whatever, they might chill, take a little bit of a breather, and not be so inflammatory when they actually get to type something. I wouldn't hold my breath for that one, by the way.
Well, you know what? I would take this over. How many cars are in this picture in that stupid Google CAPTCHA?
Oh, yeah.
That thing drives me nuts.
Yeah, you don't like that one, do you?
No, I hate it.
I'm trying to see if I want to find one so people know what we're talking about. But see, normally on CAPTCHA these days, you have click the little circle to prove you're a human. And that's enough, and it's great. But every once in a while, that isn't enough. And it says, in this grid of 25 photos, point out the ones that have a little piece of a car in them. It's like, F
you. Which one's a car?
I mean, I've done that one before where the shadow of a car was in one of the frames. I didn't check it because as far as I'm concerned, shadows aren't part of the things that cast them. And it still dinged me and said, nope, sorry, try again, and gave me another horrible one. So, yeah, I don't like those. So and also, the first time ever, dude, yes, it's funny you brought this up. Yesterday, I had to do a CAPTCHA thing, and it couldn't reach the server. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh. No, I've never had that happen yet. Yeah.
It said, the CAPTCHA server you're trying to reach cannot be, whatever, please check later. I'm like, okay, this is where I have a problem with your idea. Like, you're here to confirm, I understand the security of it, I get why it's a benefit, but damn it, if it's going to be down, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Why even bother? Let the bots in, just let them in.
Let them in. Anyway, let them in. So this is pretty interesting. There's more to this. It says, stories that use the quiz will see people presented with three short multiple choice questions. Okay, so it's short and easy. They must give the correct response to. So, for instance, people might have to correctly answer what an acronym is used for in the story that it stands for. So if it's something about the FBI, what does the FBI stand for? That's too easy, but you know what I mean. I actually kind of like this idea.
I kind of like it, and I kind of see me cheating really quick. This way, like, A, no? Okay, how about B? No? How about C?
Well, and they won't let you if you get it wrong.
So oh, really? So you're just out if you get it wrong?
Yeah,
oh,
you can't.
Crap.
I mean, you just can't comment. You still have access to the article. You can't comment, though. So that's the idea, is that you would have to say, it would imagine it'd be like this. It'd be like, what's this like? I want the right to say how good a movie was. Okay, great, right. But you need to prove you saw the movie. That's kind of what they're saying.
So what they're saying is freedom of speech directly related to intelligence or comprehension.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, and in this case, you know, it's, some people get confused about what freedom of speech is versus just, you know, a enterprise like a newspaper not letting you comment is not the same as censoring from the government. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of complicated sort of philosophical discussion to be had about this kind of issue. However, I like the idea of this partly because I never comment, so I don't care.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I am never that guy that goes to FoxNews.com or MSNBC.com or anywhere else and go, I must let my opinion be known at the end of this. I don't do it. Not interested.
Hear me.
Yeah, I don't care. It's just into the wind as far as I'm concerned, so I don't do it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah, it's hard to say. We'll have to see how this one pans out.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if it spreads to other sites and stuff. I'm not so sure it will. Mm-hmm. The Outback Steakhouse is in the news. They make steak.
And they make those bloomin' onions.
They do make those. Is that them that makes that?
They give me the gas.
Do they? The Bloomin' Onions do. Why is that? Why do they get
so bad? I don't know if they give me gas, but they certainly give me smelly gas.
All right. Well, let's take a look here. Bloomin' Onions from... Oh, yeah, it is Outback. You're right. Yeah, for those not familiar... Okay, so our international viewers, check this out. That is a Bloomin' Onion. Look at that. So what they do
no,
is they...
No, that's a Bloomin' Onion.
They cut an... I think... I always wondered what came first when I was younger, but I think I figured it out now. So the way this thing works is they slice it up into a big... So when you flay it out, it looks like it's all like a bunch of... I don't even know how you explain it. It's like a bunch of sticks or a bunch of...
Right.
Whatever it is. And then... So it's a whole onion, but then they deep fry that entire thing in that format so that all the little cut pieces get fried themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you pull those out of there and you dip it in that middle goo and then you die a slow death.
Right. It's kind of like a horseradish mayonnaise sauce thing in the middle. This is so greasy, like every bit of the grease just pulls right into the middle of that onion.
No, I can feel looking at this photo of a Bloomin' Onion, my colon is retracting in fear, in horror.
Now, is this why they're satanic?
No. I guess you get to the point of the article, shouldn't I, and tell you why that this is happening. So there is this internet theory going around that they are a satanic cult. For thousands of years, the pentagram, a five-sided figure shaped like a star, has been used by a number of religions and cultures and video games and has a myriad of different meanings. But recently, the symbol has been closely associated with Wiccans and Satanism. So for those not in the know, if you all go play an old game of Doom and you got the wall there with a pentagram on there, it's like an upside down star looking deal, right?
Or if you grab the we always call it the 666, the invincibility, right?
Oh, right. Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when we grew up, late 80s, whatever, hair metal bands, it was all the rage to put those symbols all over stuff because it made those bands cooler. And it made our parents freak out.
Right.
Which made us want to rebel against our parents, which made us go buy the latest Motley Crue album.
And then we carved pentagrams into our forehead.
Yep. And as it turns out, as I'm adult now, I realize that all of that stuff, and I mean all of it, backwards masking, all that stuff, marketing bullshit, all of it.
Yeah.
And it bugs me. So on the one hand, I'm irritated that my parents and adults around me took that stuff so seriously and acted like Satan himself was, you know, licking the side of my face every time I listened to AC/DC or something. I'm mad at that. And now I'm mad in retrospect at those companies because it's all crap. It's all bull crap. They just made it up to drive sales, and it worked. Congratulations. We all thought we were, you know, so cool and edgy and somehow, you know, connected. We all had a telephone connection to hell or whatever. So dumb. Those guys are all like, you know, 75 years old, laying in their money now going, can you believe they spent so much money on our albums back in the day because they thought Satan was involved?
I know, Kiss. Knights in Satan's service.
Yep.
Made lots of money.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the other one?
The, AC/DC Against Christ, Devil's Children or something like that. Yep. Devil's Child.
Yep. What was the one from Wasp? There's where
Wasp.
Warriors in Satan's penis. No. Wait, hold on. Wasp was We Are Satan's People. That's it.
That's it.
Listen, you can do this with anything.
Do you remember Procter?
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Procter and who?
TMS. TMS, the Morning Satan.
The Morning Satan is a pretty good show. I've heard about it. It'll drag you to hell if you're not careful. There's lots of Paul is dead. So what's another? There's another one like that though that used to be all the rage, and now I just laugh at it and I can't think of what it is.
Oh my! I don't know about that, but I do know that back in the day, Procter and Gamble got into a lot of rumors with their logo because it had the moon on it with the horn shapes and this upside down 666 symbol or whatever.
Yep. So supposedly the Subaru logo's got some kind of satanic deal going.
Right.
Let's look these up here. Satanic logos.
All this. Just type in all the things Satan does.
Yeah. Turns out way more than you think. here you go. Images. Oh, there's our old buddy Third Eagle talking about it.
Oh.
Okay. I got to find the actual images here. Okay, so they say that oh my gosh, there's so many of these, you guys. So the Google, the new Google logo for Chrome, which is like the three colors together, the green, the red, and the yellow, and then the blue dot in the middle. They say that that's a symbol for 666, and there's even three sixes in the design overlaid on top of each other to make that kind of spinny wheel. And that's your three sixes there. Let's see. They say the Apple App Store logo is some sort of satanic thing. Taco Bell's got something going. Yeah. I mean, none of these are explaining themselves very well. But you know what? Here's what I know. I can see anything in anything.
Yes. And, you know, I preach on this often on my Twitter. They control you through fear and guilt.
Yep.
Welcome to the fear.
Yep. And welcome to the guilt. There's plenty of it to go around. There's some pentagrams. The NASA logo, supposedly all satanic. Of course, because, you know, NASA.
FedEx,
yep. FedEx has got some stuff. There's a million logos in here being pulled out. LucasArts logo for the old, like, the little gold dude holding up the sun with his hands. It's supposed to be satanic somehow.
You want to watch a good little video there on YouTube? Look up He-Man Controversy. It's like there's a great video on there of these young preachers talking about how He-Man is so satanic.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, here it is. I think we have some of this. Oh, this is the toy people. We've done these on the show before, I think. This might be the He-Man talk, though.
Let me see. You're getting the He-Man talk. Demon clouds and spell books and even the zone of eternal evil. What comes to mind? What do you think of? Do you think of a coven of witches? Or a seance? Watch now.
Wicked witches? Demon clouds? Where do we start, Mr. Van Gool?
You start by getting that spell book before those foolish witches destroy the world.
We've got some witches to splat!
You coming with us, Mr. V?
I'm afraid I cannot.
Like, we're not into witches either, sir. We'll stick with you.
Oh, my Lord. I gotta watch this whole thing later. This is great.
Yeah.
Demonic toys. It's a whole thing. Deception of a generation. Demonic toys.
Everything.
Toys and cartoons. This came out in 1984. Pastor Jerry Greenwald. Okay, great. Hey, you knew that was, playing that wizard guy. That's what's his name? What's his name? Who died? He was in the Michael Jackson video. Who's the famous actor?
The guy, right.
Richard Price. Vincent Price. Vincent Price.
Oh, Vincent Price. Yeah, yes.
That's Vincent Price.
If you wish, I'm going to hunt down that demon mist in the zone of eternal evil where the darkest spirits are trapped.
Wait for Halloween.
It's so dumb.
Price, though, that's just great.
That's pretty great that he did that. I'm sure his his career must have just been booming at that moment where he's like, you know, I need to get me some cartoon work. Anyway, I didn't even, my original point was, recently the symbol, they say the symbol is in the blooming onion is the point. So,
Really?
Get yeah, that's what they're saying. It's stupid and I don't think it matters. Oh, also they say, oh no, this is what they're saying. Here's the meme. It supposedly started on Twitter. Who shared four screenshots showing outback locations in New York, Indianapolis, Phoenix, and Atlanta, all of which seem to form pentagrams around the cities.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever read. So now I'll tell you this story. A man conducts astonishing tests to discover which body part hurts the most when stung by a bee. I'm guessing penis.
All of them.
I feel like we've done
this. I'm guessing anus.
Yeah. Anus sounds bad. I feel like I've done the story before, but I'm going to read it anyway. In the experiment, no one realized the world needed, but one scientist has gone and got himself repeatedly stung by different kinds of bees. The result, while the rest of us will go to great lengths to avoid being stung or bitten by a bee, especially me, I will scream and run the other direction. Michael Smith signed himself up for it. After being stung on, brave yourself, the testicles, Smith decided to discover where they would hurt the most. He duly created an experiment which bee stung 25 different parts of his body. This is all according to Business Insider. So, Brian, if you had to guess, he'd already been stung as the idea came from being stung on the testes there. Where do you think it hurt the most?
Right. Well, this scientist is smart because he already assumed part of the answer. He's like, well, can't be any worse than getting stung in the testicles. Mm-hmm. So let's see what else hurts.
Yep.
My question is, how did he do it? Yeah. Did he have like a scale of 1 to 10? You know, it's like it stings you on the back of the arm. Oh, it's like a 2.
So
stings you in the scrot. Ah, the 10.
I mean, I don't know how you could sit there and just take it. I mean, on purpose. This seems horrifying to me. But I have your top 10. Okay, here's your most painful to least painful in the top 10. Here you go. Number one. Well, let's start with 10. Move our way up to number one. Tip of the middle finger was 10th most painful. Right there in the bird finger. The abdomen, your sort of belly area. Okay.
Right.
Number 8, top of foot. I've been stung on the top of the foot. That's not pleasant. It's no good.
No.
I was a kid then, but. The armpit at number 7.
Oh.
The armpit. Number 6.
That would hurt.
Yes, it would. Number 6, the cheek. I assume he means the face.
Right.
5, palm of hand. Palm of hand. number 4, the scrot.
All right. So up until this point, he could have pretty much had his clothes on, just pulled his shirt for abdomen.
Yeah.
But now he's fully naked.
Yeah. Well,
all right. So there's a scientist fully naked.
Yeah.
With a wasp walking around on his body.
Yeah, kind of. So scrotum at number 4. Number 3, penis shaft.
Yeah, yeah.
Starring...
So it was like 2 in a row. So it's like, scrot, penis shaft,
Didn't get rid of his stinger just yet. Then we get back up to the face. Number 2, upper lip.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd hurt right here. And then nostril, number 1.
Right.
Number 1, nostril.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, don't let it be in your nostril. That's what we're getting at.
I think anything that gets closer to your eyes and face area, you can't disconnect yourself from it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Mentally.
Plus, we have weird nerves in our face. They're super sensitive and they hurt. So right. my whole advice to you people listening is don't put bees on your body. Is what I would do.
Love for his mom to come in and catch him. Doing that experiment anyway.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? What are you doing, son?
Yeah.
Nothing.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Wait, I'm coming in. Oh, mom. No, no. Oh, my gosh. Why is there a bee on your penis shaft?
Get it off.
Final story here. Nobody likes that new emoji movie. Nobody.
Nobody.
It's the bad deal. Bad deal.
Not even 5 year olds.
Nope.
Potty humor.
Not even them. Let me tell you where that thing's at. It is currently enjoying, oh my dear Lord. I mean, it's second at the box office, but no critic likes it. 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. You don't get much lower than that. I don't know who gave that a positive review. Let's just see. Who can we call out here? It's all negative all the time.
What did people expect from this movie? What did you?
I expect nothing. I mean, I had no plans to see it, but this idea that we're going to make an entire movie around Unicode freaking emojis is the dumbest idea ever. I understand that it's a cultural touchstone. I understand that everybody's got a phone, that emojis are part of our day now. I get it. But this is, you know, having been somebody who's used instant messaging of some sort since the ICQ days, this is just dumb. Remember that ICQ? You had that?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Did you use it? You had it? You had a number you had to give people?
I lived daily for my little flower notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, ICQ.
Isn't it funny that, I mean, part of me wishes ICQ made it and that was still a thing. I could get an ICQ app on my phone. That'd be cool.
Right. Let me see. Is it? It's such a it's a clever name, right? ICQ. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ICQ. Let's see. ICQ for iOS. I'm just curious.
They still exist.
Do they exist? You can still do it? Because they were bought by... Yeah. Oh, there is an ICQ on phones. Are you kidding me? Oh, look at that.
I can still hear that notification noise, too.
That's hilarious. Messenger with free secure video chat, high-quality voice calls, syncing across all your devices, group chat, friends, family, unlimited international call. I really like this app. Sup. Clarity is clear. The sound is clear. Love it. I can't believe this is still... Who makes this? Hold on. I'm freaked out.
Load your ICQ and go see the emoji movie.
Yeah. And I guess, let's see, July... Oh, this just came out. Oh, I'm blown away by this. Oh, no, you know what? This is not... No, because AOL owns them now. Anyway, whatever. I'm having a nostalgic moment here. Oh, you just turned into a slideshow. You doing all right over there? Hello, Brian. Can you hear me? Nope. He is muted. He has gone mute. No sound coming out of Brian, everybody. Zero sound. I'm going to pause this next week on FilmSack, everybody. Load it up. Okay, anyway, we're back. So anyway, the Emoji Movie, here's the deal. It opened second place domestic box office behind Dunkirk, which is, it's a whole movie about William Shatner's character, Captain Kirk, retiring from Starfleet. He's done.
I'm done,
Kirk. Anyway, as recently as Saturday... Oh my gosh, why is my video so weird? Hold on a sec. I look terrible. It's all blasted out. Okay. The animated adventure based on Unicode characters should make about $25 million. But despite all of that, the Emoji Movie is getting the worst possible reviews ever. Again, sitting there at 7%. When this article first went up, it was a 0%. So there's only been a positive review since then. And it's bad. So, Brian, here's my goal. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, you're a dad. You got kids.
Right.
Take those kids to see Emoji Movie and let's have a proper review.
Let's do it.
Okay. You're in charge. Go spend real money on a dumb thing. Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, good. Perfect timing because we're going to play a song and take a break. When we come back, we'll have major spoilers. We'll have, who's coming? Oh, Daryl will be here. Talking about some Star Trek stuff. There is some of that in the news. Before that, though, a song. Now, Brian put me in charge of this. Let's see if I can just completely blow this or not. I hope it's not. See, what he doesn't realize is usually when Brian describes what's coming up with the music plans, I am over here fiddling with things. And right now, I'm not quite there. So here goes. Let's pull this down here. Okay, now I'm ready to do this thing. So here's what we've got. We have an artist. This is an indie in the middle. It is called Grey, G-R-E-Y-E. They are progressive Americana and indie pop rock. They have a new album out called Windows.
Oh.
Yeah.
As opposed to
Mac Apple. OS.
iOS.
Yeah. They're pretty awesome. They were spotlighted at the 2015 BMI Key West Songwriters Festival. And Hannah Summer, the vocalist, was chosen as Songwriters Showcase of America and Songwriter of the Year. You can find him on the web at graymusic.com. Again, that's G-R-E-Y-E music.com. And this is supposed to be pretty awesome, so I'm going to play it for you now. Here is our indie in the middle. It's Gray and their song, Windows, from the self-titled album, Windows.
Dirty footprint is the day that he will die. Someone's gonna
Scott Johnson here once again to talk to you about SendPro from Pitney Bowes. With three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third the price. Got to print those stamps right from your computer, son. Saving you time and money. No special equipment necessary and no more waiting in those hideous post office lines. No software to install either. Works right there in your web browser. And if you compare shipping rates and delivery times between USPS and other major carriers, that way you can ensure you're always getting the best deal when you ship your packages. Print prepaid shipping labels for USPS, UPS, and more. It's a lot of U's and P's in there. And then track that shipment or shipments the very same way you got in there in the first place, through that self-same, easy-to-use interface. And Pitney Bowes has negotiated special rates for SendPro users. Savings start at 3 cents per stamp. That's pretty good. Businesses can even do it now and pay later. Very flexible payment options for those guys. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want to save you some money and get you a good deal. Visit pb.com/TMS to learn more. When you sign up for that, you get SendPro for free for 90 days. 90 days free. That's 3 months. And a free 10-pound scale. You know, free town. And when that trial's over, you get SendPro for only $5 a month. Now, that is a special rate good for the lifetime of your SendPro subscription. Not just some timed thing or you get it for a year or whatever. That is the lifetime of your subscription. Compare that to $5 a month to $15.99 for Stamps.com. That's three times the features of Stamps.com, one-third the price from Pitney Bowes and SendPro. $5 a month. You'll never have to visit the post office again. Time is money. It's a great business investment. But you can only get this deal for a limited time by going to pb.com/TMS. That's PB, like Pitney Bowes, pb.com/TMS. We thank Pitney Bowes for sponsoring this podcast.
This is Boris Karloff speaking. I'm here with a story for you from the files of the Reader's Digest. The man on the operating table was suffering from a tumor on the brain. Swiftly, the surgeon and newly graduated intern went to work. A few hours later, the patient died.
Per Clash Mansion.
It's the world of tomorrow, today. This is The Morning Stream.
Back, everybody. That was kind of cool. That song asked a lot of questions. You notice that?
Yeah, it was one of those 80s kind of songs where we asked a lot of questions.
Yeah, this is all kind of questiony and no answers, really.
None.
Zero answers. Don't love that.
You have to wait till the 2000s to get the answers.
Yeah. In the year 2000, you'll get an answer, everybody. So be patient. Don't worry. The year 2000 is coming. tomorrow, just a quick reminder, Ibbot will be back, but he'll be in a hotel? A whorehouse is almost what I said. He'll be in the airport.
Airport!
He'll be in the airport for the first half of the show. The latter half, it'll just be me and our guests, so just give everybody a little heads up. He'll be back Wednesday for normalness, so look forward to that.
Looking forward to it indeed. You reckon he had one of those bed condoms?
He might have. Yeah. I mean, right? I want one. Don't you? Mm.
I want one.
Yeah. I want a bed condom. Wait, when were we talking about bed condoms? Was that yesterday?
Boop show. And we got somebody sent me something earlier with an actual thing.
Yeah.
On Twitter that you can crawl right into.
And take to you on like hotel trips and stuff like that. I would do that. Jeez. All right.
I would totally do that.
I have to freaking look that up. All right. Check it out, everybody. There's this going on. All the way from Hayes, Kansas. The one, the only, the Stephen Schleicher. Stephen, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning. Not a whole lot.
Nice to have you here, man. How are you?
It's good. It's a Monday, which means it's a bright future ahead for all of us, maybe.
Until Thursday, and we all...
I'll read the Vanity Fair article that I shared earlier, and it's pretty depressing.
Pretty gnarly. Hey, by the way, your kids, they're young.
Yes, 10 and 6.
Are they into things like the Emoji Movie? Would that have been a thing they want to see?
No, not the Emoji Movie. None of them have watched that, although they do laugh when the Patrick Stewart poop emoji comes out with his little pooplet.
Yeah.
And they start screaming, we're number two.
Yeah.
But no, my youngest son... Now, here's something that maybe only parents will appreciate and enjoy. My youngest son, who is 6, is totally into Minions.
Oh, man, and like so the little yellow
one-eyed
minions.
Yeah, Despicable Me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So this weekend, Despicable Me 3 is in the theaters.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of saying, hey, family, let's do a family event and go see Despicable Me 3 because I knew that he would enjoy that.
Yeah.
And, of course, my oldest son is like, nope, no interest in seeing that.
Yeah.
And then so that meant that my wife had to stay home with him while I opened my mouth and I took the youngest to Despicable Me 3.
Yeah, how was that?
I didn't find that movie great, but there's nothing better as a parent than to look at your six-year-old and see him laughing throughout the entire movie, so much so that he is a knee slapper when he laughs, to where he's sitting there just slapping his knee, laughing his head off, and he's watched the trailer so many times and little clips from the movie so many times that he would lean over to me and go, Dad, watch, this is going to be great.
Well, that's amazing. See, they found his thing. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that.
And that movie, after you take out a cost of production, that movie has already made, this is like profit side, $275 million.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Wow.
That's a lot of freaking
money. I think, who had that? Tom Merritt?
Tom Merritt had it in his group, yeah, I think so. He's going to do well.
My goodness.
Yeah, he'll do well with it. So how was, I can't think of his name, the South Park dude who's in this, plays the bad guy, the 80s looking mustache guy in the...
Oh, that is actually a character that's been around forever, and it actually worked as far as the story goes. Yeah. What is his name? Barthazal Bart or something
sure,
like that.
Sure. Oh, Trey Parker is who I'm thinking of. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. It was good. I mean, it is exactly what you think it's going to be when you go and see it.
All right. Maybe.
So don't expect much, but also take a six-year-old with you because it will be so much more enjoyable.
This has not been the year for me to see animated stuff, I've noticed. I just haven't gotten around to it. Movies in theaters that have been animated just haven't—they've just gone past me. I didn't see the Cars movie. I didn't see any of these you're talking about. I probably won't see anything till I'll probably see that Loco deal. Is it Loco? Whatever it is, the new Pixar coming out this
Coco.
Year.
Coco.
That's it.
Yeah.
Loco.
Loco. Coco. Anyway, well, it's good to have you here.
But,
yeah.
But here is the good thing, though. Mm. Right now, Scott, if you are a comic book fan, this weekend was maybe one of the best weekends of the year because there were three comic book movies in theaters this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
So Spider-Man Homecoming has been out for a couple of weeks, but it's still in theaters.
Yeah.
And I went and saw it again. Still a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
But then also there's Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
Based on a graphic novel.
Which has been out a couple of weeks. That's based on a French comic series that began in like the late 60s. And then ran until 2010.
Oh,
so it is, you can buy those adventures. There's like 21 different volumes of the stuff that you can read. And the only thing, if you do pick it up, they are fun time traveling space adventures, but they are also products of their time. So there are times where there are sometimes misogynistic comments made or particular races are portrayed maybe in a different way that may not be so acceptable today.
Sure.
So you do have to kind of be aware of that. But, you know, that movie wasn't horrible. I went and saw that this weekend as well. And I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not Fifth Element.
Yeah.
But you can see where all of the influences come from for Luc Besson, who read these comics growing up, and one of his dreams was to do this. Yeah. Unfortunately, the movie isn't doing that well in the theaters, but at least here in the United States. But it's really, really good.
Yeah. Well, I want to see. It's about 51% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's about half the critics seem to think it was all right.
Yeah, it just depends. I think some people are really going to love it. Some people are really going to hate it. But if I remember correctly, I think that's kind of how the initial critics went with Fifth Element, where a lot of them were like, oh, yeah, this is just in-your-face, loud noise kind of stuff. And the other people are like, oh, no, this is really good.
Sure.
And then the third comic book movie that's out is Atomic Blonde, which is based on Oni Press series called, it's been renamed Atomic Blonde, The Coldest City, but it's based on the paperback, The Coldest City, that you can go get. And I will say this, and again, I saw it this weekend. This weekend, I just parked my butt in the theater and just watched movies. Something I haven't done in forever.
Yeah.
But I will say, we just reviewed The Coldest City last week on the Major Spoilers podcast. And it is, when you read the comic book, it is considerably different than what you see in the trailer.
Mm.
The comic book is, you know, straight up spy thriller kind of stuff with very little action, total, you know, secret agent stuff. And so when you watch the trailer, you're like, how are they going to fit all this in? Surprisingly, the movie follows the book super, super close. There are like five changes, and one of those changes is the addition of about six giant action sequences, so the audiences will follow along. But other than that, it follows the plot points beat for beat to a point where I was super surprised at how good of an adaptation the movie was of the source material.
Interesting. I do want to see it. I like me some Charlize Theron.
Well, so if you have young children, this is not a young children movie because there's a lot of nickeds and there's a lot of heads blowing off.
Hold on. Is she naked in this or no?
Oh, yeah. She gets naked a couple of times.
Really? Because I thought she was
they
done
do a good. They do a good job of hiding the bits for the most part.
That surprises me, though.
Put this coffee mug here.
It always surprises me because when somebody's like, generally speaking, I mean, Hollywood's a bit of a sexist place, you know, they tend to make the ladies naked and not so much the men often. It seems like whenever somebody's won like an Oscar, because she won for Monster back in 04 or whatever it was, usually that means you don't have to punch that card anymore, you know, like you can you can make your kind of make your own calls. So maybe this is her own call to do this. I don't know,
right?
But that surprises
me. There's this one scene where she's getting into the bathtub and just the way that they had to frame it, you can't hide her breasts in a way. And then they have several shots, especially when, I mean, she gets really brutally beaten. There's a lot of intense fight scenes in here.
Yeah.
And so there are scenes where, she, you know, from her complete backside, you see her. And then one of the characters from the book, this is another major change, not a huge spoiler, but a character from the comic book has been changed from a male to a female. Mm. And that way you can get some interesting girl-on-girl action.
Oh,
in this
I
movie
see.
As well.
This isn't creepy at all coming from Steven. Not at all. Sounds fine.
Yeah.
Hey, the cover of that movie.
But it's good. It's really good.
The cover of that movie makes her look like Blondie from the movie Blondie. Mm-hmm. Or not movie, the band, the singer, Blondie, which is weird. Yeah. I didn't expect that out of this thing. She should do a Blondie biopic. They should do a movie. It should be called Call Me on the Line or something.
Well, then this entire story takes place during the final days of the Soviet Union, right before the Berlin Wall falls. So this takes place from November to December of 1989, over the course of 10 days.
Oh, cool.
And so if you are someone that loves the music from that time period and you love the look and aesthetic and you want to see the German culture portraying and gobbling up Western culture, it's in there. All over the place, to the point where I had flashbacks of high school with 80s music blaring.
Anything to the comparison people are making that she's like female James Bond, or the one I've been hearing is she's like John Wick kind of.
I don't see John Wick. I can certainly see James Bond because people who don't know the story of The Coldest City, she is an MI6 agent who has been sent to recover a body of a British officer, MI6 officer, in Berlin, again, during the time of the collapse of the Soviet Union and the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
And in the process, at least in the comic book, I'm not going to reveal everything that happens in the movie, but in the comic book, she also uncovers what appears to be a double agent and a murder ring that's going on inside Berlin where they are killing spies from all over the world, kind of thing.
Okay.
So yeah, she does play some spy stuff in the comic book and in the movie. There's some spy stuff going on to where I would say I compare this more to a James Bond than I would than a John Wick.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, I'm interested in seeing it. Next week you got your or this week I guess you got Detroit, Wind River, and something called Columbus. Boy, that Detroit's getting some killer reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Good stuff coming up. Look at this one. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Columbus. What's this about? Hold on. Oh, nope. It's dumb.
That's the...
It's not about Columbus. It's about...
Oh, okay.
Like Columbus, Ohio. Damn it.
Nothing ever happens in Columbus.
No, I was hoping for something else. All right. So we got some other stuff going on, which is great, by the way. All that stuff's great. Tell me about your recommendation for, and I can't believe I'm saying these words out loud, Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Big Lie. Is that a comic? Is that a book? Like, what is that?
It is a comic book. So if you are a fan of that whole teenage detective oeuvre, this comic book focuses on Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys' father has been murdered, and they are trying to figure out who done it.
Yeah.
And in the process, they are getting into the dark underbelly of their city. What's really fascinating about this is the creators have taken, like, the Bobbsey twins and all the other little teenage detectives and scattered them throughout this book as little bit players that pop in and do things, or they get a casual mention that if you're really a fan of those of that genre, you would know exactly who they're talking about. It's super well done, and I know when we say it's kind of it's done in a noir way, in a very adult way, some people are like, oh, great, so everybody's getting naked and people are having their heads blown off and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's still done really, really well, but it's done, I guess if you like the Riverdale series,
yeah,
it's kind of done that way, but toned down just a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, because the Riverdale series is definitely pushing some limits. I mean,
yeah, some limits, but this doesn't get into some weird things like I guess I shouldn't spoil Riverdale because some people haven't seen that, but
let's just say some stuff goes down. Let's say
Just say somebody gets shot in the head by somebody close by.
Yeah.
but this Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys is really, really good. It's from Dynamite Entertainment. It's out on its fifth issue now, so I think it's only a 6-issue run. So the trade paperback should be coming up like October, November, December. Keep an eye out on that if you haven't read this. Of course, it's all available on Comixology. But it is a really great series, and especially for those people that grew up reading or watching the TVs and movies and stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I always thought the Bobbsey twins was just a reference my parents would make if me and my brother were goofing off. They'd just say, oh, look, it's the Bobbsey twins. I never knew that was an actual thing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. It's so well done, Scott. You should just check it out. Read the first issue, and if you're not hooked after the first issue, it gets better after that.
Did Dunaway, did you know the Bobbsey twins were anything more than just a thing a parent would say, because I'd never heard of them?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was anything other than just my parents trying to be funny and me not getting it.
Yeah, not getting it is the main thing. Wait, are there a series of books about the Bobbsey twins that came out in like the 40s or something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. They're always getting into trouble, always solving crimes, always doing different things.
That is so weird to learn that all these years later. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens here on the Major Spoiler segment of the show each and every Monday. Steven, anything else happening at majorspoilers.com or the podcast that you would like people to know about?
Someone in the chat had said, does Encyclopedia Brown make an appearance? That is the one reference that I am waiting for them to make that I have not seen yet.
Mm.
So Encyclopedia Brown is not in there.
Could be a rights thing with that one.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. But as far as things going over on Major Spoilers, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
We are suffering the post Comic-Con blues.
Yeah.
Last week, there was not a whole lot. And starting off the Monday, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot. There was a, what's his name? Deadpool tweeted out the first look at Domino for the upcoming Deadpool 2 movie.
Oh,
and of course, you don't want to read the comments.
No,
people already have problems with it, but you go check that out.
Never avoid, always avoid the comments if you can, folks. It's my advice to you today. Do you feel like this year in the 2020 hindsight of this year's Comic-Con, does it feel a little underwhelming? Because at the time it seemed all exciting as always, and everything's popping and woo yay. But now this time, I don't know.
That's what we kind of talked about last week, was that the comic book news was kind of toned down, and some of the things that you expect the studios to have brought didn't appear. Like there was no Deadpool, no X-Men stuff besides the Gifted and Legion panels.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of, I thought, not a whole lot of news coming out of the convention from the publishers, which is a shame. But then again, it makes you question what are people looking for in their comic book convention? Are people looking for a comic book convention to go and meet creators and celebrities and rub elbows with them and tell them how much they love stuff? Are they there to buy old comic books and pop culture paraphernalia? Or are they there to try to get the latest, newest, gossipy bit of information?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think everybody goes to Comic-Cons for their own reasons. But this year, it really kind of felt like Comic-Con was more, the San Diego Comic-Con was more of a, let's meet celebrities, let's meet creators, and let's buy paraphernalia stuff. And not so much, you know, hey, let's get the latest scoop ahead of everyone else.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious what that means for next year, because usually when you have a slow year like that, things pop off the next year and, you know, you just kind of
between. The interesting thing will happen with the New York Comic Con that's coming up in what, less than about 3 months from now, in October, I believe is when it is. And so I think if you look and see how that show does as far as what the studios and publishers are announcing, you might start to see a trend away from big, giant, showy events to things of, hey, let's do something smaller. Let's do something that's really for the fans and not so much the hype machine.
Yeah.
Which I'd be happy for. I don't know about you guys.
No, but I would totally
I'm happy for a non-hype machine event.
I am as well. Also, I just like lowered expectations and then having those be beaten. Always trying to top yourself is just like, you know, it's the Blizzard problem. They can't just make a thing. They have to make it better than whatever happened last time. And that's a lot of pressure. And the public are a bunch of buttholes. And we're not always nice about this stuff.
The public is a bunch of buttholes.
They kind of are. We sure
you hear it first.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Stephen. Major Spoilers on Twitter, majorspoilers.com is the website. Please go there, frequent it, check out their podcasts, and enjoy them because they're there for your enjoyment. Stephen, take it easy. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys. Bye. Yeah.
All right.
Bye, Stephen.
I like hugging you.
I was having connectivity problems, so I didn't catch all of that. So yeah. I love Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen's great. He's great. You'll have to go back later and listen to the entire show again, Brian.
Starting from the beginning.
Yep, why not? Let me add another person to this here deal. This is going to be, I don't know who it is. It's going to be Daryl. It's his new gig, you know.
Daryl?
Yeah, Mondays. We talked to Daryl about shite. I'm going to play a different truck clip for him today. Let's see. How about this one? Let's play this one.
What are you doing, woman?
Very busy.
Oh, my gosh. That was hard to hear. Let's try this one.
Now, that's just lovely.
There you go. There's some good old-fashioned Star Trek for you. It's Steven. It's Daryl Skeels. Steven just left. Daryl Skeels on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Where are you? Are you at home?
I am here at home, yes.
Ah, you're in your little studio unit there deal.
Yep.
That's cool. I like that. That's a different room than I'm used to seeing. You've changed something.
Oh, it's just a different camera angle.
Oh. Hey, you got one of the Nerdtacular prints. Oh, that's because I stole one for you.
Somebody gave that to me.
That's right. I worked really hard to make sure that didn't get taken by somebody. Anyway, it's so lovely to see you as always. Daryl comes on the show on Mondays, talks about the latest and the greatest in the world of Star Trek, why it's a throwback to his original days right here on the morning stream.
And not a throw up, because that would be this.
No,
is that a Star Wars shirt?
It is a Star Wars shirt.
Oh, gross. Is that a...
yeah.
What are you wearing?
So hold on. You're wearing a Star Wars shirt on a Star Trek segment. That seems almost illegal or something.
Oh, it is. Right. In 51 states.
Let's talk about Brian Fuller for a minute. Former showrunner of Star Trek Discovery, who left to put full time into American Gods and some other stuff.
And selling brushes too, I hear.
Yeah, that's also true. His original plan was to make this an anthology series. And I remember the very early days when we were talking about Star Trek, that was the word on the street, that this was going to be a season kind of like Fargo. You'd have characters. There might be some loose connections to other stuff, but mostly it'd be a standalone season. And then the next season, while maybe with some connections, would be maybe a whole different time frame, different ship, different crew. Why are they not doing that now?
Well, that is what he wanted to do. And that's what they started to do before he left. And they were going to start with the Discovery era before Kirk and all that.
Yeah.
And then the next season they would do a next one. And go beyond Voyager, and CBS disagreed with doing it that way, and there were other disagreements, so Brian Fuller said, not doing it this way, so I'm out.
So that's why he quit? That's the reason he left?
That is one of the reasons, yeah.
Okay. I understand their trepidation, you know, like I kind of get it. It's a daring experimental thing to do, but what they've done with Fargo has proved to be wonderful. But also slightly less risky. It's a show on FX. They're willing to throw money behind risky projects. You know, who knows how it's going to work out. There's not a giant amount of expectation. It'll either be good or it won't. With Star Trek, you're talking about a major franchise that has everybody's eyeballs looking at it and having various level of expectation. So I kind of understand why CBS might balk at that.
Yeah, I love that original idea, though, of going through the seasons and ending up beyond Voyager, because that's where I wanted to end up.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll still do that. I don't know.
Yeah. What would they call it? Beyond Voyager? What would be the name of that one?
Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. Star Trek Beyond. There you go. Isn't that a movie? It's a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. That's related.
I don't think I can do that. So, all right. How many seasons are we getting of this thing?
Oh, we are getting 2 seasons for sure.
That's guaranteed. And if it works out, 3 or 4 or 5, up to 7, perhaps, right?
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah,
yes,
it would be. Are you still? I mean, where are you now? As we get closer, are you feeling any better about it?
I think I am, because I hear things from the cast, and they're letting little tidbits drop, nothing earth-shattering, but it sounds... I'm more positive than I have been.
Yeah.
You sound more positive.
Yeah.
Why, you sound almost upbeat.
Yeah, you sound thrilled about it. Why aren't you at work today, by the way? What's going on at work?
Oh, the kids are off for the summer, so there's only enough camps you can send them to.
Yeah, that's true.
And so are you. It's like, I'm out.
I'm out.
Yeah.
See ya, boss. I got a question. This was making the rounds the other day. Jason Isaacs, who plays Captain Lorca, is it Captain or Commander? What is he in this
Captain.
Thing? Okay, well, Captain. Are there two captains then? Because I'm confused.
No, there's just... Well, there's a captain of the Shinzu,
that's
which
him.
Is the first ship that we meet.
Okay, and that's him, or is that...
The lady.
Crouching Lady, Hidden Tiger. That's her.
Yeah, okay. That's her.
And so he was stopped by the director from saying the word God, G-O-D. He was ad-libbing it all the time. And the director said that that word is banned in Star Trek.
Yeah.
What?
Which I totally don't get where they got that from.
Yeah.
Because Dr. McCoy is saying that every other word in TOS.
Yeah.
And I looked it up.
TNG has plenty of references. There are movies. There's one movie, five, I would remind people, that is nothing but The Pursuit of God.
Yeah,
and so they say
14
it.
Times in that movie.
Yeah. So what's
and
the deal?
And 146 in all TV and movies after TOS.
So what's the... Why? Why not?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, was he using it
Doesn't
in a particularly
really...
profane way or something? Maybe that
No,
was
no.
It?
He just said, oh my God, or something like that.
Oh.
Well, yeah. And they said, you can't say God.
Because there's no God in Star Trek? Is that their deal?
I guess.
Oh, brother.
I guess that's dumb. I'm an atheist and I don't care. Go ahead and say it. I don't get it.
Isn't that what the whole idea is, that we're exploring to see what's out there? You kind of take a little bit of mystery away if you can't.
No, that's exactly right. And
you
also take away the whole point of the diversity of Star Trek. Like, the whole point of Star Trek is you have many, many cultures, many, many planets, many stages of development for these societies, and you try to keep loose with that stuff because everybody's at a different place. So you run into a very important planet dignitary whose their entire existence is worshiping a god of some sort. You don't take right. that away from them and go, nope, sorry, can't talk to you, you have a god, forget it. Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's not within it is not in keeping with Star Trek for this guy, for this director, to have this weird ass opinion. That's dumb.
Yeah, and it wasn't even used in that way. It was just, oh my God, it wasn't, you can't have a society based on fire throwing lightning bolt man.
Maybe he didn't like his work in Harry Potter and thought he was a real jerk in that, so he wanted to paint his skin. That could have been it. Well, anyway, that's super weird and dumb. We also know a couple more people who were hired to be people in this thing. Actors, I should say. Roles have been filled. Who are they? The gay couple. Tell me about them.
Well, we already knew these guys were in it. Anthony Rapp, who plays Lieutenant Stamets, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And Chief Medical Officer... The Chief Medical Officer, so he would be the Dr. McCoy of this ship, is played by Wilson Cruz. And those two are the gay couple.
They're the gay couple in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not hearing? Are people sick of freaking out about it? Because I haven't heard any freak out about this.
They did it in the movie, right? They did that with Sulu in the movie just recently. It's unprecedented.
No, but they were people freaked out about that because they were retconning a character in their mind to match more like, oh, well, you know, freaking George Takei, he's gay. Why not make this, I kind of get why people are a little frustrated with that one, but I like that this is no one's making a big hoo-ha. We shouldn't. It should be fine. Wilson Cruz, look at that guy. He's a handsome man.
It's not going to be in anybody's faces. They're not going to be making out every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, that's just who they are. And it's not going to be in anybody's faces.
Not doing some kind of kinky weird thing in the teleporters or anything. It's not in your face.
Right. Exactly. I'm showing on the screen for the chat room a picture of Wilson Cruz. He's a handsome man. Look at this guy. I might be his lover. Anyway, so a lot happening. What's the date? When do we get it? Soon.
September 24th at 8:30.
That's coming quicker than any of y'all think. So get ready.
Have you taken the day off, Daryl? Have you got your pajamas ready?
I've taken the night off. I'm not going anywhere that night. Yep.
Yeah, I'm same. We're gonna make a big deal out of it here at the Johnson House and try to hope it's great. I hope it's good. I'm a little concerned still.
I'm thinking it will be.
Coming around, are you? Coming around. Mm-hmm. Well, it's Daryl Skeels, everybody. You can find him at The Trek Nerd on Twitter and also at This Week in Trek at This Week in Trek if you desire more conversation about not only the upcoming Trek, but the Star Trek in our past as well. Daryl, anything else you'd like to add?
I'll just give you this.
Thanks, Worf.
Great. Great. What a nerd. Thank you, nerd.
Nerds.
That's going to do it for today's show. Brian Dunaway, having you here is like a warm blanket on a winter day. It makes me warm.
Aw, that's nice.
Warm and blankety.
Right.
No, it's always nice to have you here.
It performs this job well.
Yes, indeed. You should explain to people where they can get more of your fine work. You got other stuff going on. What's happening out there?
Oh, my. Yes, you should head on over to Comics Coast to Coast. This past week, we talked to Nicholas Cole, who does a comic called Jellybots. It's a lot of fun, and Nicholas is a great guy. He's great, got this great mustachio. He waxes it, and he's like curls up on the end, and he's just fun to look at, and you just want to go, what is that on your face, dude?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Jellybots.tumblr.com. I love his art. It's really good.
Yeah, Nicholas is great. He's so much fun. He just got a great sense of humor. And why didn't I think of doing jelly? Jelly's such a great substance.
Yeah, jelly's good. Also, his color work, crazy good. Really crazy, like the
crazy
color.
Good.
Is he doing his own color? I assume he is. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes, yeah. He is. He does all the works.
Yeah, he's doing a fine job there.
Hey, we're doing... And speaking of stuff, good works, this weekend, me and you are watching The Matchstick Men.
Oh, yeah. That's this week's film sack. That's right. We're finally back to it. Everybody's back in town, and we're going to see Matchstick Men with Nicolas Cage and... Who's the other guy? He was Galaxy Quest and...
Galaxy Quest.
Guy who I like.
I can't remember.
I like him a lot. Anyway, that guy. He'll be in it, and it's a Ridley Scott movie from not that long ago that I thought was great when I saw it, so we'll see if it holds up. A lot of these guys haven't seen it. And
it's going to be terrible.
It's going to be great. That's filmsack.com for details, and of course, we're on The Boop Show together at frogpants.com/boop. That's going to do it, everybody. Thank you for listening and for being here. As always, find us on the web, frogpants.com/TMS. You'll find links to everything, including our Patreon there, which is a great way to help the show if you love the show. Do check that out or go directly there at patreon.com/TMS. Find us all on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Brian here is at The Brian Dunaway. You can find Brian Ibbett at Coverville. Bye. He'll be back tomorrow. And you can always email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, and we'll read them right here on the show. All right. I got another song to play. Let's see if I can pull this off. Oh, geez. As usual, everything's in the wrong place. Hold on a sec. See, when Brian does, he doesn't realize that I have all this to do while he's not here. Okay, there we go. All right. So I got a request to play here at the end of the show. This came to us from Nikki, who says, "Dear Strawberry and Blueberry, on July 27th, I will be turning 24, woot woot, to celebrate, I'd like to make my first song request ever. The best song I've heard on TMS until now was Disturbed's cover of The Sound of Silence. If I may, I would like to request something as badass, if not more. If you can't think of anything, a cover of something by Daft Punk would do, anything will work, or anything but work it." What's that one? The one that goes, "Push it, pick it, pick it, pick it, pick it."
Oh, yes.
He doesn't like that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't blame him.
I don't like it either. As I am the prime time of my life after all. Anyway, I'm sure you can definitely see why I like it. Love the show, though, Nikki. Well, Nikki, this song is not nearly, in Brian's words, as epic as The Sound of Silence by Disturbed, but really what is? Let's see. I'm moving ahead here. It says, what I can say is the Daft Punk cover is awesome and marks a real return to form for Natalie Imbruglia. Remember her? Imbruglia. How do you say her name? Natalie
Imbruglia. Imbruglia. Yeah, like you said, the second time.
It comes from her all-cover male or album called Male, M-A-L-E.
All cover male.
Yep.
Okay.
It's where she she covers songs originally performed only by male artists. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of broad, isn't it?
Very broad. Very broad.
No, it's male.
I shouldn't use the word broad. So here it is. It's Instant Crush, the radio edit, and it's Natalie Imbruglia. Enjoy. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I didn't want to be the one to forget. I thought of everything I never regret. A little time with you is all that I get. That's all I need because it's all we can take. You use me once, you fled. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey, 2 Oregon fish sandwich.